The advertising channel landscape is becoming increasingly complex, driven by advancements in programmatic media and the emergence of retail and financial media networks. In this second episode of our four-part mini-series in partnership with Fluency, we delve into the critical components of a successful media mix, exploring strategies for leveraging automation to streamline operational complexities inherent in each channel. Additionally, you will learn insights into how a leading automotive advertiser effectively launches and tests new channels, such as Amazon Sponsored Display, on a large scale. This discussion aims to equip you with the knowledge to navigate and excel in the evolving advertising ecosystem. To kick off this episode, I'd like to introduce my two guests today, Andy McLay, Vice President of Engagement and Channels at Fluency, and Ben Gilbert, Senior Director of Advertising Innovation at Dealer.com, a Cox Automotive brand. Ben and Andy, welcome to the show. To start things off, I'd like to dive right into the topic of multi-channel, as there's a lot to cover here. Which do you feel are the key channels that have the most impact on the industry landscape today? Ben, let's start this one off with you.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Thank you for having us. So when it comes to channel focus, every channel has their own intent within the shopping funnel. So there's some branding channels out there that really drive awareness for your advertising dollars. And then there are more lower funnel direct conversion channels out there. All of them are needed. So the question is, which ones have the most impact? It's the ones that perform. One of the challenges, one of the things we really drive home is like, what KPI are you striving for with your advertising dollar? Everybody's got a different view. Everybody has a different business and marketing intent that they really want to create strategies for. But you really need to have the full funnel of marketing channels and capabilities from, you know, SEM with some of the search volume, where precise targeting is a very powerful tool for driving conversions, right? To some of the branding channels of programmatic advertising, connected TV, OTT, that really bring together targeting opportunities like digital platforms, but more in the more traditional linear TV and linear researching ways.
And Andy, anything you'd like to add there?
Yeah, sort of to echo what Ben said here, I think that most modern digital marketers are looking at all available channels to them. And it's just really kind of how you hit that within your stated strategy. One of the great things about Cox Automotive, Dealer.com, is they have maybe more insight into what the automotive car shopper is feeling or is looking for at any given time. So being able to apply that data set, definitely a strategic advantage as we you know, kind of look at different channels and different audience types to do. Of course, right now, everyone is talking about all of what we would consider to be emerging media types. So Ben mentioned OTT, connected television, streaming audio. All of those are really new avenues for agencies to help their brands reach their end advertisers. And when you couple that with really powerful first-party data strategy, that's where I think that you unlock some really neat opportunities, you know, in digital marketing today.
So many options. It's kind of mind-blowing how much opportunity there is out there and so much choice. And on that note, how can marketers best go about creating an effective media mix that leverages all of these various different channels successfully, and perhaps every bit as important, efficiently? Ben, let's start with you on this one as well.
Yeah, and I think Andy alluded to this, but the measurement piece is really critical here to have a proper budget allocation and budget management, right? There are so many channels out there that offer performance for the dealers or anybody with an advertising spend. Your measurement has to tell you where you should be applying your budget optimizations. We talk about AI and automation as core to a lot of our optimization practices, but they're only as good as the inputs you give it. So to Andy's point about having that first party data, it really drives where budget allocation should be and then that effective media mix, right? We don't want to be wasting dollars and channels that don't perform, but you also need that automation that's going to move it in a very real-time manner so you can take advantage of all those channels that are performing.
Andy, your thoughts?
You know, for me, it always comes down to operational capacity inside of the agency. What can your team add to their plate without being overwhelmed and continue to find those angles and continue to find that performance. For us, we really see automation as the way to augment that sort of crisis of capacity that we have inside of the agencies right now. There's more and more that account managers are being asked to do. There's more and more complexity and ad types. So whenever you want to add a new channel, or if you want to add a new capability or even a new audience type, you've got to think, what are you pulling from in your team's time? Or are you augmenting them with the proper tools where they can find the time and add those new capabilities? And then, of course, we've got to have the time to like test all of that at scale, ensure that things are working, roll those out. So for me, I'm always looking at new opportunities as a way to do some internal analysis as an agency and say, hey, where is my capacity? Where are those pinch points? Where do I need to alleviate some of that pressure on our teams? Then we can roll out all of the new and flashy, incredibly cool technology. But it takes some analysis first and just like understanding where your teams are at from a capacity standpoint.
I do want to get to pinch points in a minute. But first, before we get there, let's talk about where all of this takes place. So how does all of this work on, say, the open web versus walled gardens? I would assume there's similarities in terms of the strategies involved, but what are those similarities and what are the challenges or even benefits between the two? Andy, let's start with you on this one.
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think that we've lived inside of walled gardens now for so long that sometimes we forget that we're inside of them, right? It's like, when we're talking about giant publishers like Meta, like Google, like Microsoft, you know, TikTok, all of those, we call them walled gardens, but there's a lot of opportunity and there's a lot of flexibility inside of there. I think that one of the benefits that you get from a quote unquote walled garden ecosystem is there tends to be a higher level of quality for like the lay advertiser. You can probably depend on the inventory that's inside there to be like relatively high quality if you've got a good targeting strategy. However, we kind of like want to define this. I think of like open web as just being able to access all of the inventory that exists like outside of those like major publishers that we all know and love. And I think that where the open web offers advertisers a really big benefit is value, right? If you can find that value in the exchange, if you're really able to keep your ad strategy and your targeting and your compliance and all of that in place, you can find a lot of great value out there on the open internet. However, again, when we're talking about this as like a full funnel strategy here, that's only part of the picture. You still need to play inside of those walled gardens. So one of the things that like typically the walled gardens don't make it really easy for an advertiser to do is like share budgets across campaigns and like move money to figure out where the best performance is coming from. So you need a layer of technology over the top that can actually sit above the walled gardens and analyze what's happening in real time and move budget across, because the walled gardens are not going to help you do that. That is not currently how they're set up. So really, if you're an enterprise level advertiser, you need to have an additional technological layer that will help you automate that analysis at the top level, at the media plan level.
And Ben, care to weigh in?
Great points, Andy. Similarly, we look at the open web as volume versus the walled garden as quality as well. Anytime you can get that higher level targeting capabilities, you're going to be more efficient with your advertising spend. I think in the open web, we've used some of the terminology like fish where the fish are, right? You're going to get volume in some of these open networks to spend money, but is that money being spent efficiently? Plus, walled gardens are getting higher, not lower. So we really have been able to adapt with some of those in with success. But one of the keys that we see success is the audience or data activation within these walled gardens. You know, it's the classic 1+1=3 concept, where if we can layer our first party data with the target capabilities of these media providers, you know, we're going to drive a lot of efficient spend, but drive up that value of their overall advertising view.
Interesting stuff. Coming back to Andy's operational pinch points here, what are some areas that marketers typically need to be cautious about? And in your experience, what should they be on the lookout for? But as a twist, Ben, we're going to have you answer this first, because I know Andy, he's dying to answer this one. So Ben, we're going to have to go first.
Ad tech is such an important part of the operational and optimization process. Andy alluded to a lot of the demands when you have a multi-channel, omni-channel approach, all the nuances between each channel. But at a high level, you got to be on the lookout and be cautious of data privacy. You know, those fluid conversations are going on of what is compliant versus what's not. Budget management, you know, you need to be relevant within the channels you're spending money on in real-time manner. The content overload, technology integrations, ensuring all of your processes, your CRM tools, your e-marketing, the one-to-one tools are all connected and running efficiently. And then most importantly is the customer experience of your clients, right? There are conversations on how do we improve performance? There are conversations on meeting your business and marketing needs. And you need to be able to implement and optimize almost in real time to provide that value and benefit for the client.
Andy, pinch points, you're up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that over the years, we've had a lot of experience with many different brands and agencies inside of the Fluency tool. And I'll say this, there isn't a one size fits all answer for where the operational pinch points are inside of an agency. But I can almost guarantee you this, at some point, someone on the team has worked long hours, has put in weekends to change things. Like, you know, Ben, we'll talk about like model year swap overs for automotive or new specials that come up, right? Like we've got a truckuary special in that all of a sudden thousands of campaigns need to be updated at once. Those demands, the demands when you're working at the scale that Cox Automotive and dealer.com put on account management and operational teams, are significant. And there's a good reason that most of the major OEMs trust them. That's because they've got both the operational tooling and like the processes and expertise in-house. But that exact situation scales out to agencies in all sorts of verticals. That is not mutually exclusive to automotive. People who have a tendency to work with large volumes of accounts run into very similar operational bottlenecks inside of their agencies. And I can guarantee you that you can talk to somebody who works inside of one of these brands or agencies, and they'll be like the same sort of culprits who are the notorious time vampires for people's day. And that is things like ensuring that budgeting is running correctly. Is all of my ad copy up to date, running compliantly across all of my campaigns? I have a huge launch. Our sales team just closed a giant deal. We've got to launch 1,000 campaigns. Without technology helping you in that situation, you're like, oh, is this like months of work or is this weeks of work? So there's tons of different bottlenecks. But I think that the thing that we all can agree on is we're asking more and more and more of our teams. And unless we are willing to staff up a stadium full of people every single time to solve these problems, we have to lean on technology and we have to become technologists as good marketers to keep our businesses profitable and our employees happy and with us. So for me, I love talking about operational efficiency because I think traditionally in the past, when we talk about technology, it was always like, hey, how do I get a better like CPC on my paid search? Or how can my tech get me a lower CPM? But for me, like that's not my concern at all. My concern is if you give digital marketers time back, the performance will follow. People, it turns out, are very good at their jobs when they're not fighting fires all day long. They have better conversations with the end advertisers. All of those things are really kind of the operational pinch points. I think that agencies need to do some like, it takes like a little bit of self-reflection, you know what I mean? To like understand where those are. But like once you do, then you can begin to solve it with technology.
That was a soundbite, if ever there was one. Thank you for that. Ben, we're going to, if you don't mind, put a little bit of a focus on you. Using your knowledge and experience and your time at Dealer.com, Cox Automotive, how does a major advertiser like Dealer.com and Cox Automotive scale new channels? What are some use cases? Can you cite some examples?
Yeah, and I think our mindset to go into these is the concept of always be testing. You know, we never want to get stale or stagnant in our channel capabilities we have. So we have teams literally thinking, what's new out there? What's out there? What's gaining volume for usage? You know, recently we did some testing on the Amazon channel to gain access to net new networks. As we talked earlier about walled gardens, you know, they're on the arc of building those walls higher. So if you want access to the Amazon network, you got to go through Amazon. So one of the pilots that we set up was to really test the exposure of branding on that network. And we set out to answer every possible hypothesis before going into it. Like, what are the performance metrics we want to define as success? What are their audience capabilities? Can we leverage our first party data on their network that powers, you know, better performance? You know, can we create clean rooms? So we went through extensive testing environments to have controlled A/B testing as clear as possible. And then we start looking at what did this do for our dealers? What did this do for the dealer bodies? We looked at regional improvements. Did it help this region in a conquesting against another OEM? Did this dealer improve their brand awareness from website presence, website engagement across the board? Because we don't want to look at things in siloed where we allocate spend on an Amazon network and we only look at the Amazon network. That's not, I think, a true view of testing new channels to scale. We look at what did that new campaign have an effect on the overall website or digital storefront for the dealer, right? Did organic traffic increase? Did dealership brand keywords increase because they had, you know, their efforts going on a new channel? From there, once we define that, like, hey, this really helps, this is going to drive value for our clients, then we make it part of core of our advertising playbooks and allow a lot of our automation to start using that new data sets to improve performance of budget management, performance metrics on their ongoing performance reviews and others. So we really want to hang our laurels on the let's test it. Let's always be testing. And once we define that it's working for the dealers, let's get it core and then use our ad technology to start scaling it for all the accounts we have and all the OEM partners that we work with.
Excellent. Andy, anything you'd care to add to that?
Always be testing. You heard it here, folks. That's the Ben Gilbert, Glengarry, Glenn Ross moment right there. ABT, coffee is for testers, I guess, is the feeling. But obviously, Dealer.com and Cox Automotive are super progressive. If you've got a mindset inside of an agency that we're always going to be trying things that can only be good for the end advertiser, if you're continuing to learn, frequently, what happens with really progressive agencies like DDC and Cox Automotive is if they find an edge, and especially if they're not using any sort of like automation to help augment that, it can kind of almost be a worst case scenario if you're like testing and then all of a sudden you find something like actually works great and you're like, oh God. Now we've got to roll this out to thousands of our campaigns. How are we going to do that? How are we going to socialize this new edge that we just found for our brands and roll that out to all of these campaigns at scale? In the past, not even just like a couple of years ago, that could be like a weeks long endeavor just to change a campaign setting at scale. So I applaud Ben and his team for continuing to push the edge. And like when they find the edge, having the ability to kind of roll that up with the push of a button, I think that that for agencies is really what the brands kind of expect these days when they're advertising with them. So, yeah, I mean, huge kudos to you guys for that.
You know, it's interesting. In doing prep for this particular episode, it dawned on me just how monumental a task it must be, or at least seems to be. Just approaching this from a consumer, just say I'm a consumer, and I've never thought about this before. Forgive me for never having thought about this before. But as you know, when I look at a national brand that operates on a local level, thinking of, you know, car dealerships or fast food restaurants or hotels or real estate or insurance, all these national companies that operate locally, just the challenges this has to present, just in messaging. Ben, I'd like your thoughts on how do you go about at dealer.com achieving a good media mix just across the board? It's mind-boggling to me to even think about it, let alone execute it. I mean, it's really, really a tall order.
Yeah, and I think the success we've seen comes from a lot of the topics we've talked about so far, where the technology drives how and where we can implement a lot of these new things. Not the shiny things that people talk about, the things that really drive value for our clients. And then it comes really good, solid communication across everybody involved. We work in an interesting space, an automotive segment, where we have the OEMs running their brand campaigns across national markets, right? To really drive what model that's coming out, what model they're really pushing. But then we also have the layer of local markets where we're helping local dealers, franchise dealers, manage their advertising marketing for their business goals. So the communication is key, but then it comes back down to the measurement. What is working both on a grand national scale? And then what is working for those individual dealers that we can help drive optimizations for improved performance, you know, identifying new opportunities, whether it's a test that we run with new ideas, something innovative. But also, we also like to talk about, hey, we've tried this and this didn't work and here's why. Because we all want to continue showing people like, hey, we're looking to push the envelope, try new things that, you know, uncovers new value for the dealers, but at the same time, it elevates and supports all the branding that our OEMs do as well.
Andy, final thoughts from you.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Local advertising for a long time for these large brands with thousands, hundreds of locations was really complex for a long time. And it remains complex, especially if you want to do local advertising the way that it should be done, which is have customized content that speaks to where the consumer is. Like, how I talk about Burlington, Vermont is probably really different than how somebody in California thinks about Burlington, Vermont. So, you know, it's difficult for an agency that's like abstracted away from the actual location where the advertising is being done to do that effectively without help from automation. And if you're a big brand, and you want to be able to have a very customized feel to your localized advertising, as well as maintaining brand compliance. So that's like kind of one of the biggest things that they have to contend with. If you're McDonald's or if you are Chipotle, how you talk about Chipotle, you don't want to just leave up to the individual location. You want to have some rules around how the brand appears, well, leaving the individual franchise owners a lot of flexibility to message in the way that they know their local area likes to be messaged to. They know the neighborhoods that they're talking to. They know how far someone's going to drive. So you have to enable that collaboration, which either happens in conversations from the account managers back to the agency, or with technology reaching out and allowing the end advertisers to communicate back and forth to the agencies. And if you don't give people the time to have those conversations and to localize that content, it's super difficult for brands to do that effectively. But when you do give people the time back to have those conversations and you give them the ability to speak in a one-to-one manner through technology, you all of a sudden unlock huge opportunities as a national brand to do that effectively. Where in the past, it would have taken stadiums full of people to like pull that off. Not anymore. Now you can actually run an effective, compliant, locally branded campaign across thousands of locations. And so it is unlocking that promise about local that's been out there for a really long time. But I think that just now we've got the technology to catch up to it. So it's exciting to work with brands that are looking to local as almost like a greenfield opportunity again for them. We're proud to be a part of that.
Andy, I'm loving your obsession with time and giving it back to me as a worker.
I mean, come on. Nobody likes to work late on a Friday.
Never.
You know?
That wraps up episode 2 of our 4-part mini-series. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. In our next episode, we'll be discussing how to create a data-powered advertising strategy. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast at your podcast store of choice so that you don't miss episode 3 or any of our other upcoming episodes. And thank you for listening. To learn more about Fluency, you can check them out at fluency.inc, where you can schedule a consultation, view case studies in automation, or use their free tool to help you calculate the time and cost savings you can experience with automation.